It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. On Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Send in your questions. We will answer them. And joining me is Michael Eisen, our senior beat reporter. Is that the correct title now?
Senior writer, editor.
Senior writer,
all,
okay.
It's all the same.
Senior
thing.
Writer, editor. Everything that goes on Giants.com in terms of written content, this man is responsible for it. Michael, we haven't had a chance to have you on since rookie minicamp ended. Why don't you kind of give us your quick take before we get into some details?
Well, I thought it was an interesting rookie minicamp because there was a quarterback there that everyone was looking at. And that really heightens the interest for everybody. Talking about, of course, Ryan Nassib, the fourth-round draft choice from Syracuse. I kind of thought by the end of the camp there, Saturday afternoon practice, when very few people are, the media's gone and no one's paying attention, they were kind of doing the whole thing just for Justin Pugh and Ryan Nassib. Nassib was impressive, I guess, because, everyone knows I went to Syracuse. I had people coming over to me during the course of the camp saying, man, he's really throwing the ball well today. And so I joked that, Eli better have a good training camp. That to me was, the biggest thing about the minicamp, I think, was Ryan Nassib's throwing the ball well, hit a couple of deep passes. I thought he played very well on Saturday. It's hard to tell, with a lot of the other draft picks because they don't wear pads and there's no contact. And since we had a top-heavy lineman draft, we're going to have to wait till training camp to find out more about them. But the coaches did say that Pugh and Jonathan Hankins and DeMontre Moore all picked up their assignments, which is the first thing you want to see in a minicamp.
Well, let's stick on Nassib. And you brought up a ton of good things that he did. I thought one thing that I was very impressed by was his ability to throw accurately on the move. They had him roll out, run a lot of bootlegs, and he was running towards that sideline, hitting guys on the outside shoulder, going out of bounds, but, keeping their feet in stride. He showed a lot of accuracy and the ability to kind of power the ball outside the hash mark, something some people said they weren't quite sure he could do coming out of college.
Well, he did some of that at Syracuse because, I guess Justin Pugh's protection wasn't good. No, I'm just kidding. They did have a moving pocket at times at Syracuse. And Syracuse has always had a very diverse offense, no matter who the head coach has been. And he did throw on the move, not a lot there, but he was called on to do it. And I agree, he did it very well over the weekend.
And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, and I frankly wasn't quite aware of the extent of it, before I talked to one of the guys that covered Syracuse, he's had basically three different offenses in 3 years at Syracuse. And I think that probably helped him a lot, absorbing that playbook in a night, more or less, for this rookie minicamp and being able to translate stuff to the field quickly.
Yeah, well, that and the fact that he is very bright. I mean, he was all academic Big East, I believe, 3 years in a row. He graduated, I'm pretty sure, before the season and was already working on and he graduated from the business school, so he did not have he had a challenging major, and he's already working on his graduate degree. So I think he does absorb things very quickly.
So it was one of those cheap Newhouse degrees that anybody can go in there and get?
The one that, like, I have?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't one of those.
You're right, though. Nassib and Pugh, both of them seem to be smart guys, but also very studious and serious guys about the game. These are guys that are going to do their homework. They're going to try to, learn the system and be professional. And a lot of times rookies have trouble being professionals. And that was one thing that I know Ruben Randall got some heat early last year from both Eli Manning, the coaches, the players, about maybe not taking things seriously enough. You get the feeling for Nassib Pugh, and really, we'll get to the rest of the guys too, That doesn't seem like that's going to be a problem for this group.
No, I think there are a lot of similarities between Pugh and Nassib. Both grew up in Pennsylvania, as unfortunately for them, Philadelphia Eagles fans. They're both very bright. Like you said, they're studious. They both really like the game. They work hard at it. They don't call a lot of attention to themselves. They just want to play at the same time. They are, you know, accessible with the media, well-spoken. So I see a lot of similarities between those guys.
We'll roll through these rest of the guys in just a second. I want to get to the one call that's been holding for a bit. That Shakes down in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up, bud?
I have two questions, but I wanted to say something about Curry before I do.
Sure.
Okay, all right. Now, the last call I did, you was kind of, I can't say that you was down on the pick, but you was, like, pooping it. Like, the pickup of Aaron Curry, you was like, ah, whatever.
Well, no. Shakes, the point I was making is that some people are inserting Aaron Curry into the starting lineup. This is a guy that got cut by the Oakland Raiders after two games last year, and he's been kind of trying to find the role in the NFL. Let's not slot him in as a starter. Let's see what he has first, get him into shape, and then we'll figure out what he is. I think a guy like Keith Rivers is much more likely to be the starter at this point than a guy like Curry. That's all I was saying.
Yeah. I think Rivers is going to be starting, too, just if he can stay healthy.
Right.
But the thing I was going to say about Curry is, they said he didn't have the good football instincts in Seattle, but to me, he was a number four pick in the draft. You know, they picked him up number four.
5 years ago.
He could have been, like, thinking, like, he had to do something. He had to make something up. He had to just create something. It was a Seattle, a bad team. He had to do something. So I don't blame him for that, and I don't blame him for Oakland because he was hurt. So I just think, you know what I mean, you was pooping it to me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, dang, I mean, I can dream, right? I can hope. I mean, we got Rivers, we got Curry, we got Connor. We got three first-round linebackers that was drafted out of college. That's pretty good to me. If they can come up to their expectations, then that's big for the Giants. So, yeah, Aaron Curry can be our this year's Kawika Mitchell, you know?
By the way, so Dan Connor, a third-round pick, Shakes, just FYI.
I know that. But I'm saying as far as coming in and contributing and running around like we need our linebackers to do. Now, my questions was about Charles DeSalle and Etienne Sabano.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that Charles was looking good out of the Division III school, that he was smacking people. I heard another caller was saying that he was smacking people and flying around, and seeing his YouTube and all that. I've seen the YouTube. He was flying around and smacking people. But what my question is what did he did not show that Etienne Sabano showed to show that, okay, we can keep Sabano, but we cut Charles?
Well, I mean, I don't have the details on that. I don't think Michael probably does either. We don't, get into every single cut decision made, nor would they share that information with us, quite frankly. But just from a logical standpoint, Sabino's a guy that went to Ohio State, which is a big program, has the size and speed and those type of physical attributes that are probably more NFL-ready than the smaller school guys. So I imagine that's probably a couple of things that went into their decision. But, Mike, the Giants did do more shuffling than you would normally see at the end of these rookie minicamps, kind of letting some guys go, bringing other guys in, and it seemed like they really did seem to learn some stuff about some guys during this camp.
Oh, no question. I mean, I think after the camp Saturday, they let go six players and signed six players, which is unusually high. I think some of that had to do with the fact that they have limited roster space right now, and some of the guys they signed were actually veteran tryouts.
Like Okum.
Yeah, Okum and the tight end.
Childers?
Yeah. Palmer.
Well, Palmer.
Palmer.
They said he was doing good.
Yeah, and Jeremy Horn, the wide receiver from Kansas City, who been around but doesn't have any NFL catches. So, but, the process doesn't stop now. They're going to – it will continue right up till the start of training camp. So
Right. What I don't understand is y'all said y'all can't really see anything because no pads and no contact. So what did he show that?
Well, look, again, we don't know for sure, but let me give you an example. Maybe Sabino picked up the defense immediately and proved he's a quick learner. And what he was taught in the classroom at 10 o'clock, he did on the field at 11 o'clock. And the other linebacker he referred to had no clue what was going on out there. You know, that, right. I'm not saying that's what happened, but that's what you look for in a camp without pads.
And, Shakes, that's something that the coaches can see that Michael and I can't see watching practice on the sideline.
Right. I don't know what they're taught in meetings. And if a guy is running around like a chicken with his head cut off on the field, then and he obviously can't pick up the most basic stuff on day one, there's no point in keeping him around.
Right. You're right about that. I figure I ask y'all because y'all get to see the practices and y'all get to see how these players are playing. So, you know, I was saying, like, okay, what did he did not show, you know?
Nah, Shakes, I hear you.
Last question. I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't want to take up all your time. But last question is, did y'all hear anything possible on Joshua Chris? Because I know he was in Detroit. I know we still got a chance to sign him. I want him because I don't really want Wilson taking the responsibilities of being the number one running back, number one kick return. Like, I don't want that.
You know, the only thing, Ralph Vacchiano on the New York Daily News reported today that Cribs is down to four teams, and the Giants are one of them. So that's all I know.
I didn't read that this morning. Interesting.
That's what it is. That's what they're saying. And the four teams is us, Detroit,
The Jets,
Oakland team. So, like, if you're looking at it, you like, okay, if I go to the Giants, I can probably be a star. And the only thing is, I heard that he want years on his contract, and I think we just gonna do a 1 year. But if you do good with us, you know we treat you right.
Well, but Shakes, the thing about it too is that he might want to have a role not just on special teams too. And that might be hard to find here in the Giants with so much talent at the skill positions, where maybe it's some of those other teams you mentioned, like the Jets, who obviously don't have a ton of skill position guys on that roster. He might be able to find some time on offense there that he wouldn't be able to find with the Giants. Thanks for the call, bud.
John.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to say, though, for Chris, don't you want to win?
Well, that's fair.
Come to the winner. Come to a winner.
All right. Thanks, Shakes.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Be good. And it's like Cribs is doing like the, you know, around the NFL the
tour,
like
yeah.
vacation here. Like, he's visiting every team in the league.
He's been around. He's made several visits. Well, I guess almost decision time for him.
Well, he's a guy, too, that has the concussions, though. I mean, he suffered those head injuries in Cleveland. And, you know, those are always a worry. You never know how a guy's going to react to that if it's easier to get that injury again. And it's just something that you really have to worry about.
Yeah, you know, this whole thing. You know, Tom Quinn, the Giants special teams coordinator, said the other day he hinted very strongly that he'd like to see David Wilson returning kickoffs again this
year. You think
year.
Strongly?
Yeah.
The big smile on his face was
valuable,
pretty good.
It's a valuable weapon, so, I'm not so sure you look to replace him.
And he also pointed out, though, that they are trying to find the weapon that can contribute on punt returns and be more than just a, as Bill Parcells used to say, a punt catcher.
Right.
You actually want a guy that can catch the ball and actually maybe get some yards, too.
Yeah.
So I think they're really going to try to find a guy that can help out there, too. You know what I mean?
I would think so, yeah.
I want to jump back on the first thing Shake said for a second. Your take on the Curry thing. I had so many Giant fans so excited. Fourth pick in the draft. I'm like, guys, this was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He's basically done nothing since he's been in the league. I'm not saying it's a bad signing. Take a flyer on the guy. Better chance he succeeds than some no-name out of Middle Tennessee State. But let's temper our expectations here a little bit.
Yeah, to me, it's very similar to the Keith Rivers trade last year. Keith Rivers was the ninth pick of the draft the previous year in 2008. And he came in and made some nice contributions, but he had trouble staying on the field, and he certainly didn't light the world on fire. So, you know, this Aaron Curry, you got to look at kind of the same way. Let him come in. You know, both Jerry and Tom admitted he's overweight right now. He's got to get in better shape. He's coming off serious knee injury that they, you know, they want him here so he can rehab the knee injury. He hasn't really done anything in the NFL. I mean, he's got, I think, 3.5 sacks or 5.5 sacks in 4 years or something.
It's not a lot.
Yeah. So he, he's, you know, like Jerry said, it's a low risk move. You bring him in and see what he could do. But to come in and expect that he's immediately going to start and, you know, play like you would expect the fourth pick of the draft to play, I mean, his history in the NFL suggests it's not going
to
happen.
I forget what caller called up yesterday, and I tried to explain this the best I can. Maybe you can add on to it a little bit. When Jerry spoke to the media about Curry, I guess it was on late Friday afternoon, and they asked him about whether or not he's coming off a serious injury. And Jerry kind of said, you know, I'm not sure. I have to check with the medical people. And a call is like, how do the Giants not know about this guy's medical history? Do they not do their research? And I think the point I tried to make is that Jerry wasn't referring to that he didn't know if he had surgery or not. He probably just didn't quite understand the medical details of the surgery and exactly the severity of it. But the Giants know he has to rehab here and get into shape.
Yeah, that's why they want him here, so that their medical people can basically lead the rehab.
Exactly.
Give him the instructions, what they want him to do.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Greg down in North Carolina, who's been holding patiently. Greg, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, John?
What's up, bud?
Yeah, all right. Hey, I have a couple of questions. First things first is the OTAs and training camp. Do you guys have a date yet?
For that? Training camp or for OTAs?
For OTAs, the one the fans come out to. I'm trying to put some time in here.
Training camp won't start to the end of July.
It looks like July 26th is the first day camp can begin.
Oh, there we go. Right. Oh, that has to be, what, 15
days
before, days
the, first
before the first
preseason game. Yeah. So figure July 26th. The first full pads practice is usually about 4 or 5 days later.
Okay, that's good stuff there. All right, now the pickup, we got a new linebacker, Aaron Curry.
Yep.
I heard your side of the story. I understand we should not expect too much. But you know, you don't see Jerry Reese and Coach smile when a name come up, and they do smile when Aaron Curry names come up, which is a good sign for me. You got to come back, when, you know, be more logical and trying to put a mind at ease here. But it's not, don't shoot down the Aaron Curry deal. I mean, he, you know, that's a positive note for us, because we all know we are desperate for a linebacker here. And I think he is pretty promising.
Well, there's no question he's promising, but he's yet to prove that he can be a consistent NFL player.
True.
Let him come in. Look, I hope he comes in and plays like you would expect the fourth pick in the draft to play. But, you know, until he does, I think you have to be skeptical that he can, because he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe this defense will suit him better than those in Seattle and Oakland.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for here. Now, how many times, admit it, have you seen Tom Coughlin laugh, smiling?
Well, I've seen it quite a bit, but not in public.
Well, that's what I have for now. Thanks for the date.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it, Greg. I told you, people are excited about Aaron Curry.
Well, that's fine, you know. But again, to me, it's very similar to Keith Rivers. And, you know, it's certainly a no-brainer if he's out there and you think he can fit into your defense. But, you know, until he can come in and prove that he can be a productive producer, or I should say a consistent producer, I mean,
similar to Terrell Thomas, too, coming off an injury.
Yeah.
You take a flyer and you hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
He is a prolific tweeter, apparently, I'm told.
Curry?
Yeah.
Yeah, Curry's all over the place. Yeah, he doesn't stop. Maybe that's why he's out of shape, because he's tweeting.
Well, in fairness, we did need somebody to replace Martellus Bennett and take that role on the team with the producers tweeting.
Yeah.
I know you're all over Twitter all the time.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. 201-939-4513. Victor is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Victor, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Victor.
I'm fine. I hate to do this, but I'm going to talk about Aaron Curry again.
No problem.
All right. I think you guys are hard on him. He wasn't drafted 5 years ago. He was drafted 4 years ago.
This is his fifth season in the league.
There we go. I'll agree with that.
Okay.
his last full season was 2011. And Pro Football Focus ranked him at about an average linebacker in the NFL. He had about 80 tackles. He had a couple of fumble recoveries for touchdowns. Not an all-pro season, but last year, all of our linebackers were below average. So if you give me an average linebacker, I'm kind of liking it. Now, I know he has some chronic knee injuries, but I guess he's what I've read on the internet is he's had some kind of a stem cell treatment. I mean, who knows what that's going to do for him? But I actually have a little bit of hope that he can come in, and if he can't start, can be a quality backup for the Giants. The Giants have done this before. They've brought in some guys. Who's the offensive lineman from the Eagles? They brought in.
Sean Locklear.
No. No, a couple of years ago. Really outstanding guy. Had some injuries, a back injury.
Oh, Lockhurst in the Redskins. Sorry.
Oh, Andrews.
Sure,
Andrews.
Yeah.
And he came in, and then his back gave out on him, but he gave us a couple of good games. I'm not going to be so hard on the guy.
That's fine. I would hope that Aaron Curry would come in and give us more than a couple of good games. You know, again, it's a low-risk move. I hope he proves to be – I hope he starts all 16 games and goes to the Pro Bowl. But the guy has, again, provided no evidence yet in the NFL that he's capable of doing that. He's got to come in and prove that he can produce. And, you know, I think the hope is that he gets himself in shape. The knee is not an issue, and that this defense is better suited to him than what he played previously. And the Giants think are at least hopeful that all that will come together and happen.
I think we're all on the same page. I wish him luck. Can I ask this one more question,
sure.
Or at least an observation? It seems like the Giants this year are focusing on sort of a back-to-basic strategy. They're drafting big guys up front in the first, second, and third round. Offensive linemen, defensive linemen. They're signing a lot of these one-year deal free agents, which probably is a function of what the marketplace is like. But a guy like Connor, I think, is a pretty good addition at middle linebacker. And they're not going with rookies. They look like they're going for veterans more than rookies. I mean, This example of not keeping Charlie DeSalle, is that how you pronounce his name?
I'm not even sure, to be honest with you.
Well, he wasn't here long enough to
right,
do it.
Exactly. I never had a chance
but,
to ask him.
He'd have been better off pronouncing it Charlie Diesel, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
He'd sound more like a football player than the other way. But it seems like they're just going for veterans. Is that sort of a different way of looking at is that what the team is doing this year?
Well, there's no question that Jerry has signed a lot of guys to one-year contracts. I just think that, the clubs, for whatever reason, in free agency had the upper hand, and they did not have to give long-term contracts to these guys, and there's no reason to do that if you don't have to. You know, this way you bring a guy in for a year, see what he can do. If it doesn't work out, you can let him go, and no harm, no foul to anybody. And, you're not stuck with a giving a guy a bonus that stretches out over several years that affects your salary cap. So I think Giants aren't the only team that are doing that, the one-year deal is the way to go. Now, it makes it difficult for the pro personnel department because then you got all these free agents coming up again, and they have to be on top of a whole lot of players. But, in the long run, as far as the Giants will know what they have, and it'll hopefully help out their cap situation.
Thanks a lot, Victor.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, appreciate it. Have a good one. One last call before we get a couple Twitter questions here. Len is down in Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Morning.
It's kind of hard to get excited about the Aaron Curry signing. I hope it works out for them. And it seems like he's a good guy. I mean, Wake Forest graduate. He'll probably play hard for us to try to make the squad. But I can't get excited for the following reason. John, you've heard me say this before. We're not even going to beat the Oakland Raiders with ex-Oakland Raider players.
And, Len,
guys.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
We got to get guys that are better than Oakland is keeping, and that's how you win. And my second idea for you this morning, and, John, maybe I've said this to you before, I think you win with guys who are in that 4 to 8 year category. When the bulk of your team is 4 to 8, you got a real good shot. Now, Eli's at 10. I'm not saying we should get rid of Eli. You get my point. You got a couple of guys on, at the 9, 10, 11 years, your kickers, et cetera, and you got some rookies coming in who get ready to take over. But I think the core of the team needs to be 4 to 8 if you're really going to make a run at that Super Bowl. What I'm excited about with the Giants is the amount of competition at safety, the competition at defensive tackle. I think that's going to make us better in the long run. Again, I hope Curry makes it. I'm not sure what he'll add to the team other than the fact that he's in that 4 to 8 category. But, let's go Giants. And Jerry's had a great off season. John, you know where I'm coming from when I say this. If we can get Victor under long-term contract, it's an A offseason for the Giants. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Right, anytime, pal. Appreciate it. All right, Mike, a couple things on Twitter. This is from JCS02008. Any chance Nassib gets anxious or upset sitting on the bench for 4 or 5, you know, at least it's 4 or 5 years. I'm going to say for 16 full games, or even a couple seasons, 32 games without taking a snap. He's a competitor. He's been a starter. He's been a number one quarterback. Is that going to be something that he's going to have to get used to and learn how to handle?
Well, I would think so, yeah, but he did it in 2009 at Syracuse. When they brought in Greg Paulus, the former Duke basketball player, and Greg Paulus started all year. He has, for lack of a better word, experience at it. But, you know, Nassib certainly understands what the situation is here, that Eli Manning is not going anywhere. Jerry Reese said the day he was drafted, we hope Nassib never plays for us. So, yeah, he's going to have to get used to it. I think the best thing really Nassib could hope for is he develops quickly, and in 2014 he is the backup quarterback.
All right, this one coming from Junior at Mikey2282. Who do you see as the third Giants running back? Any chance 44 or 27 come back?
I don't think Brandon Jacobs comes back. As it's my understanding, the door is still possibly open for Ahmad Bradshaw. Would not shock me. He has yet to sign anywhere else, obviously. If he's willing to come in at a reduced role and a reduced salary, I can see it happening. If not, you know, I guess Darrell Scott is a leader in the clubhouse for the third running back, but my guess is they'll bring others in to compete for that.
Well, you're Ryan Terrain's around then. What do you think of Michael Cox at UMass during minicamp?
You know, showed a little bit of a burst, but I think he's got a long way to go.
All right, this one coming in. Let's see. Marcus Erickson, I think, makes a good point. Two teams let Curry go in just a few years. That should tell people something. Hope he produces for us. Keyword hope, not expect. Which are, I think is a very good delineation.
That's part of what we've been saying. Yeah.
Exactly. I think he's right on top of it.
Right.
And then finally, Saraceno, one of the guys that tweets in a lot, wants to know more about the offensive lineman Jasper. I guess he saw some video. Jasper was the guy that came in as a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
He's about 385. I mean, this guy is
400 pounds.
He is a house.
Yeah.
House. And, Mike, I see him move around the field. He actually looks like he's pretty mobile. The Giants are changing his position. You know, Frank Oakham's a big dude, too. He's listed at 350.
Yeah.
And I guess the Giants hope they can turn some size into effectiveness on the football field, huh?
Yeah, Jasper has the broadest back of any player I've ever seen.
He's bigger than Rodgers.
Yeah, he is just huge. And he's, as you say, he was surprisingly, they put him at guard. He was surprisingly, I don't know if nimble's the right word, but he moved pretty well.
He did.
And he's certainly an intriguing prospect. I mean, he's got size in the interior offensive line that you don't usually see. I mean, he makes Chris Snee look small.
This one comes in from Robert at NYG Reporter. What do you guys think of DeMontre Moore? I thought Mike, him, and I think you could throw Pugh in this category too. Probably need to hit the weight room a little bit, get a little bit thicker, get a little bigger. But I think Moore has the body and like the size you look for in a guy that can get after the passer a little bit.
Yeah, the thing about Moore is, you know, he came in with some questions about his attitude. He was supposed to be a first-round talent. You know, question his work ethic. And, you know, again, I know I'm sure he was coached up a little bit, but he said all the right things at the mini camp.
Yep.
Seemed very eager to learn and was humble. And, you know, let's not forget he's only 20 years old, so he's got a chance to really grow in as a person and a player, to be quite a player.
And taking a look at Cooper Taylor, by the way, people called in asking, well, could the Giants move him to linebacker? Well, see, after seeing him in a person, that dude's not a linebacker.
Yeah.
He is a safety. He is certainly does not have the size, the height maybe, but not the size to be a linebacker. But what a nice kid talking to him, says all the right things. And if he has enough agility and speed, he could be a real weapon covering those taller tight ends down the field if he has the speed to stay with them.
No question. He can also looks like a guy who can contribute on so many special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just got special teams written all over him.
And just overall, we keep saying it. To me, every one of the guys in the Giants draft class this year, they all seem like good kids. They all talk
They
all say the right things. Just really nice kids.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you.
Hankins was always smiling. He's laughing. His laughter and smile. I'm not sure if you noticed it.
Yeah.
Just the way he laughed and smiled reminded me a lot of Marvin Austin.
Yeah, I guess he did, actually, when you think about it. Marvin Austin's
a little bit, right?
Affable guy.
Yeah.
So is Hankins.
Yeah, they don't physically look like each other. The way they kind of just laughed and you know, that sort of thing was the same. The Giants hope they get a little more consistent production out of Hankins as well. I'm not trying to make that comparison. But Yeah, well, there you go. It should be a lot of fun, Mike. We appreciate the time as always. OTA start next Wednesday, by the way.
I know.
And you can have all the coverage from Mr. Eisen and myself and Dan Salamone as well on Giants.com. Mike, thanks a lot, bud.
Okay, John.
All right, thanks for joining us this morning, everybody. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes here every weekday morning at 10 a.m. on Giants.com. See you tomorrow morning. Have a good one.